So everyone, if we could have a round of applause, please, for Bradley Kuhn on how does InterSource impact on the future of upstream contribution?
So I appreciate the organizers asking me to give this talk. I have organized the Dev Room, the legal and, or helped co-organize legal and policy Dev Room for 9 years now, and I really appreciate the Dev Room organizers putting effort in to make this happen. As we often do in our Dev Room, they ask for talks to be made shorter, because there, as you probably noticed, FOSDEM is a gigantic event, which means everything gets lots and lots of submissions, et cetera, et cetera. And so this is a, so the abstract you've read is a 40-minute talk. This is a 25-minute talk. I am not going to hit everything in the abstract. It still will do what it says on the tin. It just will, you know, there's just not as much in the tin as you would have hoped for. But during Q&A, which I can continue in the hall per Leslie's permission, we can talk further about anything I don't cover. So there's a thing about the world now. The words don't mean anything anymore, and the political situation in our world is pretty bad. We live in a post-fact politics world, which means there are words out there that people say that they have different meanings, and they'll stand and argue because they have different definitions of words. So I have my own working definition of InterSource, which I'm going to start with so that at least you know what I'm talking about. I don't necessarily say that everyone who talks about InterSource is using this definition, but this is the working definition that I'm using. So I think basically InterSource can generally include absolutely any kind of adaptation of free and open source software methodologies, tools, development, community practices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to the specific application of developing proprietary software. And I think InterSource also is exclusively for the development of proprietary software because, after all, even if you're in a company, as we all well know, commercial contributions are as welcome as non-commercial ones in FOSS. So once you're actually contributing to FOSS, you're not doing InterSource anymore because you're just doing OSPO style, help my company contribute to FOSS. So we're talking, when we talk about InterSource, exclusively about trying to use all the stuff that we do in FOSS to make development easier, better, faster, more collaborative, et cetera, into proprietary software development. For sake of completeness, here's also the definition that Wikipedia has, which is sourced on Wikipedia. It hasn't, I didn't check all the sources, but if you go to Wikipedia, it has a number of footnotes that you can read. This is a reasonable definition. I think mine's a little bit more comprehensive, but I think this is a good working definition as well. One place I want to highlight is a couple things about that part of their definition. This part is sourced on Wikipedia, so I presume that is accurate. And the idea that this was coined by Tim O'Reilly is incredibly interesting to me. So I have been somewhat of a nemesis of Tim O'Reilly's back when he actually cared about FOSS, which I think he doesn't now, so he wouldn't see me that way anymore. And I encourage you to read, this is off topic for this talk, but there's a really interesting article which is linked to here in the slides. All the blue things are actually links if you look at the slides online. There's an article by a guy named Evgeny Morozov, I'm not sure if I'm saying his surname right, called The Meme Hustler, that kind of covered Tim O'Reilly's career and his co-option of FOSS, which I think is a particularly relevant point to InterSource, and his relationship with it is interesting in that regard. Most of you in the audience, I see most of the audience know who I am, it looks like, because I've met most of you at some point. So you know that I believe software freedom is a moral and ethical issue. It is something that I do because I believe people should have certain rights to copy, share, modify, and redistribute software. As such, I have to realize that most other people don't have that kind of motivation for doing this. In fact, I would venture to guess that most people who do FOSS today are doing it for reasons other than a moral commitment to a world where all software is free software, and I suspect most people don't believe that proprietary software is morally wrong, as I do. I live in the world in all sorts of different vectors of things I don't believe with. I'm a vegetarian, and I spend a lot of times with people who eat meat. So it's not that I'm objecting to being around these people, but I think as we analyze